Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake in for Chad Hartman today, tomorrow, as well as Wednesday. And we'll get to some NFL draft stuff a little bit later. But, hey, this is the radio home for Twins baseball, and the Twins are going good right now. And so when the Twins are going good, even when they're not going so good, it's a great opportunity to talk Twins baseball with Chris Atterbury, who's the Twins Radio Network studio host. He joins us now, just beginning his, 12th season hosting the pregame lineup card and postgame download on the Twins Radio Network. Hey, Chris, it's our first time getting to have a conversation on the air. I appreciate you joining today.
Yeah, it's nice to be on with you instead of before you. So it's like the opening act who never gets to talk to the headliner. So I'm excited to be here. I literally just got to Houston like an hour ago. It is a steam bath down here, and hopefully we'll have some good baseball tonight.
Really? So what is the temperature? What is the weather like tonight?
I ducked out of the cab and inside, and I sweat through all of my clothes when I did it. So it's just typical Houston. Now, I will say this. Having been down here sometimes like in August or July, where you literally can't walk across the parking lot, I would just soon be here in late April. I'm just fine. Thank you very much. But it'll be 70 inside, and hopefully they'll open the roof at Minute Maid tonight. It's pretty cool when they open it.
That'll be awesome. All right, so I want your opinion on, I don't want to say a rant, but just a take that I had about 20 minutes ago in regards to Twins baseball. And I said that, you know, a couple of segments ago, that I just love the feel of this team this year because of a couple of different things. Number one, the versatility of the lineup in terms of how they can score runs. Because, you know, when you look at Major League Baseball, some people will try to describe a team as a team full of mashers, or they'll try to describe a team as a team that plays small ball. And I really like the versatility in which the Twins display when it comes to putting runs on the board. But I also love the fact that there are a bunch of guys on this roster, as we saw over the weekend and over the last couple of weeks, that can hit home runs at a good rate. Because to me, it gives the fan base, it gives those that love Twins baseball a little bit more of a confidence and a swagger that if you get behind in the game on any given night, they can rally and come back just with one swing at a bat.
No, I think you're spot on both points. I'll start with the first one. You know, we get so sucked into the narrative that it's all about velocity when you're pitching and home runs, right? The lift and swing those hips through and hit fly balls, and we went crazy on changing our swing plane and our launch angle. But the best teams in baseball last year were Cleveland, Houston, Boston. Those teams didn't strike out at all. That'll remind you of those Royals teams you used to cover down in Kansas City, right, that were pretty darn good.
Yep.
Didn't strike out. Ball was in play all the time. They stole the most bases in the league, and they could score in a ton of ways, exactly how you described. They could beat you on a night when the wind's blowing in or you're facing a ground ball pitcher with a hit and run or a ball in the gap and a guy going first to third. Or as the Twins won the game yesterday with the fourth run, was Byron Buxton doubling and going to third on a 300-foot pop-up and then scoring on a 260-foot pop-up. So they can beat you in different ways, but you have to be able to hit the ball out of the park, like you said, in terms of either creating separation or erasing deficits. So they have that versatility. And what I like about it is it's like a good apple. There's no soft spot. No matter where you are in the lineup, a guy can hurt you in a different way. And there's depth. So when you get into games where you're pinch hitting or you're, you know, switching pitchers and this, that, and the other thing, whatever lever you're pulling, you're putting a guy out there who's a legit threat to do something offensively for your club. So I think you're spot on. Now, the one thing that those teams I mentioned that were so balanced and diversified offensively and, frankly, likable offensively, fun to watch offensively, whether it's a Mookie Betts or a Xander Bogaerts or George Springer and Altuve, a Lindor, Jose Ramirez, you know, we have those types of personalities too. But what those teams have, when I talk about the three good teams last year, had like 8 of the 10 best starting pitchers on the planet. So as much as we want to talk about openers and bullpens, It's funny how that worked out, that the three best teams had all the best starting pitchers.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Twins Radio Network studio host Chris Atterbury here on Late Night and for Chad Hartman on News Talk 830 WCCO. And you're facing a team that, the Houston Astros, a nice start to the season for them as well. And you're talking about a lineup there that they pose a lot of issues for people in Major League Baseball with the power that they have and also with the speed.
Yeah, they can do a little bit of everything, and it plays into their ballpark, and they're fueled by one of the singular players of a generation, Jose Altuve. There's never been a guy really like him. And the things they can do, they signed Michael Brantley, who was just a perfect fit for this ball club. But the funny thing is they're not scoring a ton of runs this year. They don't give up any runs. We went from Baltimore, where they had literally given up twice as many runs this year as Houston has. So Houston's forte, despite all the power that they have offensively, has still been just bludgeoning you with good pitching. And so when their pitching goes wrong, they can be had. It's happened in Texas where Gerrit Cole got roughed up. He was tipping some pitches, and they had a couple other bats starting. McHugh had a rough day. But we're going to see a guy, Brad Peacock, who we've seen before. He's not the first guy you think of when you think of the Astros rotation, but he has struck out a bazillion Twins over the last 5-6 years. He's just kind of a sneaky guy. He's the guy that you think you got their starter out of the game, and they'd bring him in from the pen in the second, and you'd look up, and he'd still be out there in the eighth with 9 strikeouts. So he'll pose a threat, and they're, again, that their hitters are so good, and they're so good at home. They haven't lost at home this year. They are the center of the espionage conspiracy theory that really flowered during the postseason about stealing signs. And they are reputed to be the best at it in Minute Maid Park. So that's going to be a topic throughout the course of the weekend. And hopefully Marwin Gonzalez can help us crack that code.
You know, one of the things, and I don't want to come across, and I feel like I come across this way, but I really don't care at this point. But but I think that people, they will say, well, Lake, hold on, man, you're being a little bit too homerish on this Twins team. And I don't think that that's the case when it comes to the pitching. Now, we know that Barrios is, we know how good he is. The two guys that I look at and I say that they're going to be much better than what we've seen to start the year once they get their feet underneath them and they kind of, you know, get into a rhythm. I really do believe in the talent of Jake Odorizzi, and I do believe in Kyle Gibson. What are your thoughts on those two guys in particular and their starts to the year?
Well, they have to be better, right? Like, or else it doesn't matter how good our offense is. So we saw Kyle not just all the last season, but the back half of a very, very difficult 2017 that saw him get sent to the minors. When he came back up, he finished really strong, and then he was that same guy all last year. He hasn't been that guy yet, but you see signs of it. The schedule's been so goofy, I don't want to be too reactionary about the rotation because of the doubleheaders and the washouts and all the days off. I think that's difficult. I don't think we've yet seen the best Jake Odorizzi in a Twins uniform. Now, we saw him in a Rays uniform be devastatingly effective.
Yes.
When he was fully healthy and he had his tools. We know he went back to the drawing board in the offseason and put in a ton of work. I don't think we've had a chance to see those seeds blossom and flower yet, but I hope they do. And we need it. We need that to happen. I think Martin Perez will be fine. I think Pineda is what he is. There's just not a ton of ready rotational arms right now. There are some guys that you could throw in to make a start, Cole Stewart, Littell, that can have done okay and can do okay, but it's not like the next big member of your rotation is riding through the door. Now, we'd hope maybe Gonsalves would be ready. He hasn't pitched yet. He's an extended spring with forearm tightness and has not picked up a ball. So that's not happening. The big arms in the system are all a couple of years away and a little bit lower down. So Odorizzi, Gibson, they have to pitch well. I mean, that's just no other way around it.
Final thing for you, Chris, and we'll let you go. When it comes to Twins baseball and the hot start here at the beginning of the year, what is the one thing that's probably surprised you the most?
Surprised me the most?
Yes.
That's a really good question. I was kind of bullish on this team from the beginning, so I thought that they had a chance to be pretty good. I didn't know anything about Ryan Harper, even when he was in the minors last year. He was just a name. So I would say his ability to consistently get outs has been probably the biggest kind of out of left field surprise. You know, I thought Garver would hit. You know, I knew what Acevedo could do. I kind of knew who these guys were, but I didn't see Harper coming in any way, shape, or form. And he's become a guy in a league where when we talk all about velocity, but spinning it has become kind of the way to go out of the bullpen. He does that in a very unique way and gives us something that we haven't had and that other teams don't really have in the bullpen. So I'd say Harper would be my number one thing. And then the one thing that doesn't really surprise me but kind of bums me out is, and I understand it, but there's still a level of apathy from the fan base about this team. And I get that it's April and you're busy and school's wrapping up and there's NBA playoffs and there's playoffs in hockey and there's a lot of things going on at school. I get that. But if you want to, like, design in the basement a team that's easy to root for, this is kind of a group, right? I mean, you've got swagger of personality in Eddie Rosario. You've got a young guy like Max Kepler. You've got Byron Buxton, who's one of the most spectacular professional athletes in any sport to watch on any given day. You've got a generally good vibe to this team and kind of a friendly, let's get after it, aggressive approach. You know, it's not a bunch of guys taking briefcases into the batter's box and, the numbers say I should take 12 pitches here. I mean, they go out and they play. You got the flair of an Astudillo, and I find them to be a very likable bunch. I've been around, you know, this is my 13th year. I've been around some teams that were not fun to be around, and I've been around some teams that were awesome to be around.
Yep.
This one is way on the awesome side, and I hope that people will pick up on that. You know, my daughter is 10, and so she, after Joe retired, was like, well, now who's my favorite player going to be? I mean, this is a girl who called me when I was in Boston, when Escobar got traded, and was crying and screaming at me on the phone over Escobar being traded because wow. He was her favorite and Joe was the other. And she's like, well, who's my favorite going to be? And I came home the other day and she's like, you know, Dad, I'm thinking about Eddie, but Max is really cute. And and then she went through like six different guys. And I thought, you know what? Great time to be a young baseball fan because there's any number of young faces that you could pick off of this squad to be your favorite player that you could ride with for the long haul.
That's awesome, man. Hey, so I mean, she's clearly who does she land on? Who'd she end up landing on?
Oh, she's shifty, man. She's a mink. She's tough to get her to land on anything. But I think right now, I would say Eddie is probably sitting in the catbird seat on this one.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
She likes Hildenberger too, except he went to Cal, and her mom went to Cal, but I went to Stanford, so she doesn't like Cal. So Hildy's out because of Cal. But she thought she liked him, but then she dug a little deeper, and he's out.
Chris's daughter, she's picky. She's picky.
Yeah. Tough audience. And she didn't like me at all.
Oh, man. Hey, Chris, man, we appreciate the time. We'll have to do it again at some point, but we'll be listening tonight for the pre and post.
Awesome, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care. That's Chris Atterbury joining us here on on Late Night, filling in for Chad Harpin here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I mean, his daughter's is picky. In regards to who her new favorite twin's going to be. I find that rather interesting. That's pretty funny. Good stuff from Chris. All right, coming up next. Imagine having, well, you feel like you've earned and you should receive your degree from college, but it hasn't been sent to you over a $1 unpaid debt. We get to that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.